Our little group starts upstairs, a vaulted ceiling soaring over the staircase. The ebony railing's so highly polished it looks as though you'll leave a mark if you touch it. On a stained glass window next to the landing, a deer stretches its neck to nibble at some grapes. There are two parlours on the first floor, as well as a spacious hall that in the past was probably lined with tatami for banquets and gatherings. Now the floor is plain wood, and the walls are covered with framed calligraphy, hanging scrolls and Japanese-style paintings. In the centre, a glass case displays various mementos and the story behind each. One parlour is in the Japanese style, the other Western. The Western-style room contains a large writing desk and swivel chair that looks as if someone's still using it. There's a row of pines outside the window behind the desk, the horizon faintly visible between the trees. The couple from Osaka walks around the parlour, inspecting all the items, reading the explanations in the pamphlet. Every time the wife makes a comment, the husband chimes in to second her opinion. A lucky couple that agrees on everything. The things on display don't do much for me, so I study the details of the building's construction. While I'm nosing around the Western parlour, Miss Saiki comes up to me and says, "You can sit in that chair if you'd like to." Shiga Naoya and Tanizaki both sat there at one time or another. Not that this is the same chair, of course. I sit on the swivel chair and calmly lay my hands on the desk. "How is it? Feel like you could write something?" I blush a little and shake my head. Miss Saiki laughs and goes back to the couple. From the chair, I watch how she carries herself, every motion natural and elegant. I can't express it well, but there's definitely something special about it, as if her retreating figure is trying to tell me something she couldn't express while she is facing me. But what this is, I have no idea. Face it, I remind myself, there are tons of things you have no idea about. Still seated, I give the room a once-over. On the wall is an oil painting, apparently of the seashore nearby. It's done in an old-fashioned style, but the colours are fresh and alive. On the desk is a large ashtray and a lamp with a green lampshade. I push the switch and, sure enough, the light comes on. A black clock hangs on the opposite wall, an antique by the look of it, though the hands tell the right time. There are round spots worn here and there into the wooden floor, and it creaks slightly when you walk on it. At the end of the tour, the Osaka couple thanks Miss Saiki and disappears. It turns out they're members of a tanka circle in the Kansai region. I wonder what kind of poems they compose, the husband especially. Grunts and nods don't add up to poetry. But maybe writing poetry brings out some hidden talent in him. I return to the reading room and pick up where I'd left off in my book. Over the afternoon, a few other readers drift in, most of them with those reading glasses old people wear and that everybody looks the same in. Time passes slowly. Nobody says a word, everyone lost in quiet reading. One person sits at a desk jotting down notes, but the rest are sitting there silently, not moving, totally absorbed. Just like me. At 5 o'clock, I shut my book and put it back on the shelf. At the desk on the way out, I ask, "What time do you open in the morning?" 11, Oshima replies. "Planning on coming back tomorrow?" "If it's no bother." Oshima narrows his eyes as he looks at me. "Of course not. A library's a place for people who want to read. I'd be happy if you came back. I hope you don't mind my asking, but do you always carry that backpack with you? It looks pretty heavy. What in the world could be inside?" "A stack of Krugerrands, perhaps?" I blush. "Don't worry. I'm not really trying to find out." Oshima presses the rubber end of his pencil against his right temple. "Well, see you tomorrow." "Bye," I say. Instead of raising his hand, he lifts his pencil in farewell.